Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with plan, the Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the past week. Now, I've been meaning to bring this up for a while because I've been hearing rumors that our city here, Jacksonville's, paid $18 million for this huge, shiny squiggle sculpture. And I'm like, this can't be real. I thought it was a joke, right? Because all the pictures I've seen of it are CGI or something. So I looked into it, and I found this article here. So I'll read a little bit about it. It says, earlier this week, the city of Jacksonville, this is like in July, announced a redevelopment of the Jacksonville Landing. Yeah, they redeveloped it by knocking it down. A design firm called Perkins & Will was picked to completely overhaul the riverfront plaza with a beer garden, a hotel, a play area, and a sculpture. Now, if you haven't seen pictures of it already, the sculpture, depending on which angle you're looking at it from, can either say derp, lerp, jocks, or L. You know, and I think some people think that it's a waste of money because we could have used it to, I don't know, feed homeless people or whatever. But I like it because now we have something that you can make fun of us for besides the Jaguars. You know, it kind of takes the heat off of them a little bit, you know. Now, as you know, I actually have a lot of respect for the Jaguars because from my understanding, and I don't know a lot about sports, I'll admit it, but from my understanding, they threw every game last year in order to be able to get a higher pick for the next year's team. And I think it really takes a lot of courage to debase yourself like that. I think that if most sports teams were trying to throw the games, they would, you know, they would try a little less hard. They'd lose like half the games or something, or maybe pride would kick in, right? They'd win a few of the games, but not as many as they usually would. But the Jaguars, they lost all of them except for one, which is a fact that I also enjoy because, you know, if I went out there by myself, the Ed Man, alone, and battled against every team, their exact same schedule that the Jaguars had, I only would have lost one more game than they did. And that makes me feel really good about myself. And we would have saved so much money off of paying the team, we could have built 10 sculptures. Or maybe just, you know, a couple of sculptures and then fed the homeless people. Now, as usual, you know, I'm doing the show late, so I don't have time to research this, but a friend of mine told me that they saw an interview with an artist or artists, and they said that the sign is supposed to represent the river, and it says whatever it is that you wanted to say. And what I wanted to say is, we wasted our money. Are they ever going to take that half-cent tax back, right? The Greater Jacksonville Plan, remember that? They were going to take the half a penny away from us, and then they were going to give it back when the plan was completed. Well, if the only thing they've got left to do is build this giant squiggle in the sky, I think the plan's over. Give me the half-cent back. I guess we get a tax break this weekend because of of going back to school, so you can save money on backpacks and clothes and all kinds of stuff you don't want. But as far as the statue goes, okay, so from the pictures I've seen, this is basically a giant reflective squiggly mirror, which, when you think about it, we're in Florida, all right? It's sunny all the time. Is this a good idea? I have a feeling that $18 million is just like the beginning. Once the lawsuits start rolling in from people being blinded from this sculpture, I think is when the expenditures are really going to happen. They're going to tear this thing down so fast, it's not even going to have a chance to rust out or get blown away by a hurricane or whatever. I predict that Rex the Dinosaur on Beach Boulevard is going to outlast this thing. My theory is that when whoever designed this thing, right, they had to turn it in the next day. And so they're like, I better get cracking. So they put down a sheet of paper and took out a pen, and they wrote the word Jax on it because they wanted to come up with ideas for Jacksonville. And they were a little bit sloshed because they had just gone over the beer garden idea and they were like testing out beers or whatever. And so they're wasted. and they misspelled it. They wrote J-O-X, and then they had to turn the O into an A, and then they just passed out, right? They just passed out on their paper. And now they wake up the next day, and they got to turn something in. So they just turn in the paper as is and say, make that into a sculpture. And that's the story. That's what happened. Because if somebody said to me, and I'm not, you know, incredibly creative, but if somebody said to me, we're going to give you millions of dollars to come up with an idea for a sculpture, I would not have the balls to just write the word Jax and hand it back to them. I couldn't do that. I would not have the intestinal fortitude to look somebody in the eye and say, this is what I came up with. I mean, I just give them, my sculpture idea is just the word Jax in light cursive, and then I have to walk around like I'm a genius coming up with this. And I have to remind myself that that's what I'm getting paid for. I'm not getting paid for the actual work that I'm doing. I'm getting paid for the attitude that I'm exhibiting when I show someone with supreme confidence this crap idea for a sculpture that they're going to spend all this money to make it into reality. And this is my lot in life. And yeah, I mean, I feel a little bit bad and people are like dunking on me or whatever. But, you know, I walk outside, I got a nice car. I got a nice car, you know, I had the windows tinted a little darker than they should be, and I put some nice lights on it, and I feel good about myself again. And life isn't so bad. All right, so a new jobs report has come out, and they're boasting about how great the job, the soaring job numbers. The job report was for July, and they're acting like this is a big deal. All they had to do to make the jobs report better is not shut things down. I mean, people are out of work from the pandemic, and now people are going back to work. It's not rocket science, but so this is not, to me, a victory of the Biden administration. In fact, usually jobs numbers go down, they say, in July. Now, that's what I heard on Reuters News. I don't know if that's true, because I would think that in the summer, lots of people would be looking for jobs, and jobs would go up, but I don't know, maybe not. But anyway, if jobs normally go down and now they're going up, I mean, you know, I don't think that's anything that Biden's doing. I think that's just, people are just going back to work. They said that 25% of it was in the service sector and 25% was in another sector. But they were sectors of people just going back to work, right? But now here's what's important about this. These job report numbers, the Reuters story said, do not reflect the new Delta variant panic that's been happening. So we may very well see a drop in these numbers over the next month. Now, the CDC extended the housing moratorium through October. So that, you know, that might be the right thing for Biden's constituents, but you're going to see this is the wrong decision for the economy. And now Biden is suggesting that we have billions of dollars unspent to help people out. And he's suggesting that we give that money that the banks distributed to the landlords, which, well, I mean, his voters aren't going to like that. They want the money directly. They always feel, you know, you should give it directly to the little guy, not realizing, you know, that somebody who has saved their money for years so that they're able to afford a rental property may very well also be the little guy. And they're not going to be able to afford that property anymore, and they're going to have to sell it to a bigger fish. But the chickens are going to come home to roost. And you can't just keep throwing money out forever. I mean, not even the terrible modern monetary theory is an advocate of putting out infinite cash, because they say that the inflation is going to become a problem. And inflation has been a problem already, even before this. It's going to be so much worse now. I don't even want to think about it. And now they're talking about shutting things down again, at least in other states. You know, I see people on Twitter and Facebook, and they give DeSantis a lot of flack. But man, you got to have some cojones to be able to argue with the president and, you know, and the press constantly trashing you, you know, for doing what you believe is the right thing. And they keep throwing up these stats saying that, you know, you have more people getting COVID in Florida and Texas than any other state or whatever. You know, they keep saying that. But I look up the statistics as far as actual deaths go, and we are doing pretty well. So they can throw out all of these numbers that they want, but you can just go to Google and look up numbers for yourself and look at the number of people of actual COVID deaths here in Florida compared to other states, and we're doing a pretty good job. And for those of you, I do believe that, you know, if you want to get vaccinated, that's fine, right? I don't think you're dumb for getting vaccinated. I think that for many, many people, that is definitely the right choice if you have risk factors and things. And even if you don't, I mean, look, I can't get upset with somebody looking at the news, right? And you have Biden saying things like, you know, if you're vaccinated, you can't get this, which he said. Now, it's funny, no on-air fact checkers came out and called Biden a liar and said that he was giving out false, fake news and bad information, right? So nobody came out and did that. Some conservatives did. But isn't it funny? What happened to all those on-air fact checks and the reporter breaking in during Trump's speech while he's talking to fact check him and the crawl at the bottom of the screen, you know, saying that he's lying again, that kind of a thing? We don't get that stuff with Biden. Isn't that interesting? You have a man in office who may or may not be doing the wrong thing, right? But for some reason, just because he's a Democrat, all the news organizations lay off of this guy. He is, in many respects, even if you are a liberal, Biden is worse than Trump on many fronts. And yet somehow, he keeps getting a free pass. If you look at the difference between any Biden press conference and any Trump press conference, the difference is stark. And yet somehow Trump is the dictator. Trump, who sat there for years with every reporter challenging him and trashing him to his face, and he just took it, right? I mean, he talked back to them, certainly, but he didn't ban them. He didn't say, you've got to give me your questions ahead of time. He didn't do any of that smarmy stuff that Biden does. But somehow he's seen as being the bad guy and the dictator and the person who's trying to control the press and the enemy and of the press and all that. Enemy how? By answering your questions? By taking every press conference? By going up in front of the cameras day after day? Whereas Biden is hiding? Can we even get an update? Can we get an actual public update on the coronavirus even, like we used to daily? How blind do you have to be to not see the double standard? You've got to be absolutely blind. You've got to be blind, deaf, and dumb. Okay, so I said I wasn't going to call the other side any names, so I'm being a little hyperbolic here, but you do have to at least recognize the difference. You have to at least recognize that there's a difference in the way that Biden is getting treated by the press than the way that Trump is getting treated by the press. No matter what side you're on, you must see that, right? And you have to see, you must, that there's a difference between the way that conservative ideas are treated by the big conglomerates as opposed to more left-leaning ideas, right? Good. I mean, I'm glad we agree on something, right? So when you have people like the creator of the vaccine RNA process getting banned for an interview that he does, a podcast that he does, where he said that he doesn't believe that children should be getting vaccinated, that young people should be getting vaccinated. That podcast that he did an interview for, I can't remember the name of the person that was interviewing him, but that gets banned. You can't even look at it. You can't even look at both sides to form an opinion. And I hate to say both sides, because to me, that's not even a side. I don't know. This guy might be a flaming liberal. But he's coming out with his opinion. But because it runs counter to the Biden administration's narrative, or maybe I should say the official narrative, whatever that is, because of that fact, he is banned. And I'm seeing stories saying things like, Biden calls on big tech. Biden joins forces with big tech. And I'm seeing stories that Facebook and other social media companies are going to be more active in protecting us from fake news. It's frightening. And also frightening, I just told you that the inventor of the RNA process is now, not only was his interview banned, but his Wikipedia page has been changed. Now, it might have changed. They might have changed it back. I haven't looked at it. But they changed his page to say that the processes that he was credited for are now being credited to unnamed scientists at universities. So do you understand how scary this is? All right, so the guy's name is Robert Malone. Dr. Robert Malone, censored by Wikipedia over mRNA vaccine warnings. Dr. Robert Malone, who discovered mRNA technology, publicly warned about the risks of administering the experimental gene vaccine to young people. After that, the information about him was removed from Wikipedia, LifeSite News reported. He discussed the serious safety concerns associated with Pfizer and Moderna vaccine for COVID-19 in a podcast for the Dark Horse YouTube channel on the 10th of June with evolutionary biologist Brett Weinstein and tech entrepreneur Steve Kirsch, which a Japanese biodistribution study by Pfizer questioned the lab's data. That study, which was released by viral immunologist Dr. Byron Brindle, showed that the lipid nanoparticles in the vaccine did not remain in the deltoid muscle where they were injected as claimed by the vaccine developers, but circulated throughout the body and accumulated in high concentrations in organs and tissues, including the spleen, bone marrow, liver, adrenal glands, and in fairly high concentration in the ovaries. Dr. Malone further stated that the FDA was aware that the peak proteins were biologically active and that they could travel from the site of application and cause very dangerous and adverse effects. He issued further warnings on Fox News' Tucker Carlson Tonight, where he also stated the risk of administering the experimental vaccine to young people, asserting that the risk-benefit analysis and are not being done and contradicting reports that the vaccine's manufacturers had provided. So listen, when people don't want to take the vaccine, it's because of stuff like this. When you have the inventor of this technology warning about the vaccine itself, I think that is something that should be paid attention to. And when you have YouTube and Wikipedia censoring this information, my trust level in what I'm being told by general public sources goes way down. So how can you blame someone for not wanting to get this vaccine if the inventor of the process is telling you that the information being given to you by the administrators of this vaccine is incorrect? You should probably at least listen to that. But it's being censored. Why? Why? So you have to understand, it doesn't have to do with my wanting old people to die. Okay, I'm not trying to kill my relatives. I don't hate other people. I don't have narcissistic qualities, which is a crazy article that I read, says that if you don't get the vaccine, you might be a psychopath or a narcissist, which is really reflective of an article that I read back when Trump was running and said that if you like Donald Trump, that you might be a narcissist or you might be a sociopath or psychopath or something like that. You know, it's funny, they malign you for having a thought differently than what the establishment wants you to have. And, you know, every time I'm thinking, oh, maybe getting the vaccine is the right way to go after all, then something like this comes out and the level of trust plummets. And you know what how it's gotten so bad out there with the press and with the media. People have gotten conditioned to expect that they're going to make this vaccine mandatory. They haven't done it yet, but you know, they always do this. And I'm telling you that what the public expects is what they're going to accept. If you think they're going to make this vaccine mandatory, but they haven't done it yet, and you're called a conspiracy theorist for thinking that they're wanting to make this mandatory, and you get belittled for saying, you know, I think they're going to try to make this mandatory, then you kind of lose your fight, right? You don't want to fight against it because they haven't done it. But then there's kind of a flip over where a part of the population expects it to happen, and then they just accept it. In fact, a lot of times in situations like this, the population thinks that the law has already been passed. And then when it does get passed, they don't really think anything of it. I mean, come on. We knew for years that we were getting spied on by the government. For years we knew that. But we didn't know it, right? There was no proof of it. And every time you said, oh, I think they're illegally listening to your conversations or whatever, you get made fun of. And then Edward Snowden comes out. And what happens? They get mad at Edward Snowden. Why do we get mad at the whistleblowers? And we don't get mad at the people who are committing the crimes. It's ridiculous. But that's how we are as human beings. And, you know, we've been figured out, right? We've been figured out. They know now, the intelligence community and the establishment, they know how to manipulate things well enough. And sometimes you have a spanner gets thrown in the works, like with Trump. I mean, that was kind of out of left field, right? Everybody's making fun of Trump. Heck, before it actually happened, everybody thought Trump was kind of a joke, right? But when you listen to him compared to the other candidates, he's less of a joke than they are. And so he got in, but they were ready this last time, weren't they? Right? They had the excuse, they had the COVID thing, they had the mail-in ballots, right? They had it all ready to go, and I do think it's ironic how there's a lot of rumors that they're going to want you to show your vaccine card, but they still don't want voter ID, and statistically, you know, minorities are the ones who aren't getting this vaccine. So any bad things that you're saying about people who aren't getting this vaccine, you know, you're saying it about people of color. So you better watch out. If you're playing by the liberal rules, you need to watch your mouth. But the truth is that they really what they really don't like is that you're using your brain and you are making your own decision. And that to them is the most dangerous thing of all. All right, guys. Well, I got to wrap things up. Thanks for listening to me. This has been the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm the Ed Man. We'll do it all again next week. Have a good one, everybody. See ya.